Blog Talk Radio.
Then we go.
increase. Just test two people, say increase. Increase, test somebody, say increase.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, God's Great Love for Us. Tonight we're going to be discussing thinking on things that are good, that are positive, that are of good report, and we're going to be focusing on how to have a mindset that keeps us focused on God and His will for our life. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to share your word, to discuss these ideas that you have put forth in your scripture to change our life, to transform our life, to give us peace. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you place within us so that we could be at one with you and we could operate in absolute power. God, I thank you for all of the Spirit Alive family in South Korea, in Japan, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Brazil, in Australia, in Botswana, in Zambia, in Cameroon, in Saudi Arabia, in India, in Thailand, in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Russia, in Romania, in Italy, in Spain, in France, in Ireland, in Finland, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Poland, in Hungary, and in Norway. God, I thank you for you blessing all of your people in these countries, God. Father, I thank you for you blessing all of those who live for you and who are seeking a greater knowledge and understanding of your word so that they can be the true lights that you've called them to be in this world. They can be the salt that keeps even the most severe conditions from being hopeless. God, I thank you for the light that you place within us of your word and your spirit. And Father, I thank you for you giving us a mindset that focuses on that word so that we can prevail in all things that you give us to do for you. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Vanessa, I believe that it would be appropriate for you to go ahead and start this discussion tonight since this was your idea. And we will take it from there and see where the Lord leads us. Vanessa?
Okay, can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
So this topic came up, he probably doesn't remember, but we were talking about specifically the show, but about what comes out of a person's mouth. The scripture came to mind in Philippians 4 and 8, and I can't remember the details of the conversation, but I do know that we were kind of both in the same same area where we were wanted to discuss about the things that you think on and the things in your heart. And this is a scripture I thought about in Philippians 4. Many of us are already familiar with this one. But this is what we are going to be tallying back and forth. And hopefully it will be prayerfully a blessing to you in this world that we live in. There are many things that take what we should think on and what's important. But as Christians, as people in the body of Christ, we take our references and our leads from the Word of God. And so even though there are things vying for our attention and competing for what we should focus on and what we think is important, the Word always makes it very plain. So in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8, it really starts on the things that Paul was encouraging the church as it pertains to exhortation, encouragement, and prayer. I will be reading from the ESV as well as the Amplified to bring out certain principles in the Word. But he wrote this letter, and he was encouraging them and telling them things to do, things to pray for, and just giving, you know, exhorting them, lifting them up. But in verse 7, it says, this is also the same chapter that says, don't be anxious for or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your requests made known to God. Peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, it guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say, finally, which is the very last part of his instruction, exhortation, encouragement, and prayer, believers, and I'm reading from the Amplified. In the ESV, it says, brothers, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, this is Paul, practice these things in daily life, and the God who is the source of peace and well-being will be with you. Now that's reading out the Amplified, and those two verses are jammed packed with a lot of stuff there. And that's why we wanted to use this topic. We picked this topic and I wrote it down because I think it would be almost a non-exhaustive topic. We're not going to even get to everything, but I think we're going to try. We're going to try tonight between the two of us. And if anybody else is online, they can definitely please feel free to add in and give us your insight. But I pray that this bless us. I pray that there's new revelation and new ground where God can begin to pour in more of an understanding of why it's important what we think on and what's in our heart. Okay, Bishop Carver?
Thank you, Pastor Carver. I'll tell you that it is really important for us to understand that where we're looking is where we're going to be. If you've ever driven an automobile or a bicycle or a motorcycle, what you'll notice is whatever direction you're looking at is the direction that the vehicle you're driving is going to go. So I don't know if you've ever found yourself looking at something off to the side and you see your car begin to veer off in the direction that you're looking. That's how life is. If you are looking at things that are not true, things that are not noble, things that are not just, things that are not pure, things that are not lovely, things that are not of good repute, things that are not virtuous, then you're going to be moving in a direction that you don't want to go. And quite honestly, if we want peace, if we want power, if we want praise, if we want prosperity, then we want to be looking in the direction that God wants us to go. I know that, unfortunately, because we understand how much damage sin does in the lives of people and how much sin has damaged our own lives in many respects, there is a tendency of Christians to focus so much on sin that we forget about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that canceled all of that out. All of that damage is done away with. And it's almost like we're reliving horror. We're reliving trauma. We are revisiting the past when God says, I've made all things new. And you have to understand, it is our human nature to automatically focus on the negative. So if we have a list of 10 things and 9 things are perfect, but one thing is wrong, we're going to take all of our attention and focus on, well, 99% of our attention, we're going to focus on that one thing that's wrong. And God is asking us to do the opposite. God is saying, look, there's always going to be some bad around, but what you need to focus on is whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, whatever is virtuous, and whatever is praiseworthy. Think on these things. And then he's telling us that I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to hear you. You're going to receive direction from me because you're looking at what I want you to look at. You're dwelling on what I want you to dwell upon because God has a plan for us, and that plan is good. We simply have to come into agreement with God that his plan is good and stop focusing on the devil who somehow convinces us that there's a chance that he can win. Somehow the devil convinces us that he might possibly have more power than the blood of Christ in certain situations. We know that's not true, but we behave as if it is. And so what we have to do is renew our mind to the word and stand on the promises in the word of God so that we put away whatever we think, whatever we feel, whatever we believe, whatever it sounds like, or looks like, or feels like, or smells like, or tastes like. And then we stand on what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God transcends all of these things. Yesterday, it was awesome because in the praise, in the Spirit of Life praise and worship experience during our meditational reading, the reading was talking about how the pastor had seasickness when he was on a Navy ship, and they directed him to look at the horizon line because it stays steady. It's in the distance. It's always going to be there, and it's not going to move. And what he found was that his seasickness went away when he stopped looking at the waves and the wind and the water that was all immediately around him. And he looked past that at the unchanging horizon line that was always there. There's always that straight line in the distance between the sky and the water that was able to keep him focused, keep him level, keep his stomach sound. So it is in our life. When we look at the drama immediately around us and all of the chaos, then we'll do like Peter when he was walking on water. When he was looking at Christ, he was fine. He was walking on water. He was coming to the Lord. And then he stopped and started looking at the waves around his feet and all that stuff, and he started to sink. And we don't want to sink. That's why God directs us to look at the horizon line. Look at that unchanging straight line. No matter what the waves are doing immediately around you, that horizon line is unchanging. It's constant. It's steady. It is what is true, what is noble, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is of good report, what is virtuous, what is praiseworthy. See, what you're going to find is the world has a 24-hour day, 7-day a week campaign that highlights all of the evil that the devil is successfully doing in the world. So every person that gets killed everywhere is being publicized on a regular basis. And then evil that hasn't even shown up is being planted in the hearts of people in order to get them to fear, in order to get them to react and run and be manipulated by the devil. And God wants you to be free of that. But what you can do is you can accidentally focus on things that you shouldn't even be thinking about. You could be letting things come out of your mouth that should never be taking up space in your mind to begin with, because you should be so focused on meditating on the Word of God that all you see is signs, miracles, and wonders in your life. What you are looking for in your life is the more than abundant life spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. And what should be coming out of your mouth are the testimonies about all of the deliverance God has made available to you that is available to others. And then you should be sharing that overflow from your life so that others can learn to focus on what they need to focus on. I'm going to share with you a scripture from the Old Testament that is very similar to this, that is going to help you embrace why we want to meditate on things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. This verse is in Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And what's powerful about this is that now you're meditating on the Word of God. And as you meditate on the Word of God day and night, it says, then you're not just meditating on it to meditate on it to think on it. You're thinking on it so that you can do what is written in the Word. And as you do what is written in the Word, then you make your way prosperous by meditating on the Word and doing what God says in His Word. See, that is an equation for success. And not just regular success. It says here, "And then thou shalt have good success." And what this tells me is that there's such a thing as bad success. And we know there is such a thing. It's when the tail wags the dog. It's when your success rules you to such an extent that you're not available for God. You're not available for your family. You're not available for others. You are a slave to whatever it is you call success. And that is called bad success. Good success is when you are able to bless God, serve God, trust God, obey God, and then the dog wags the tail. Your success is a byproduct of your relationship with God, not something that causes you to serve and bow down to it with every waking breath. So I just want to encourage you that if you want good success, meditate on the Word of God, study the Word of God, and then do the Word of God. And as you do what you know, then you're going to see prosperity in all that you do. You're going to see good success, and God is going to bless you. The Word of God says that out of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you're meditating on is what's coming out of your mouth. And so if all you're thinking about is CNN News or Fox News or MSNBC News or whatever your local news channel happens to be, what you're going to be speaking about is all the latest bad things that have been happening in the world that you probably wouldn't even know about if it wasn't for the media. And God has preserved his word over thousands of years so that you could hear what's on his mind about you, so that you could read his plan for you and understand that his plan is good and you're part of that plan. Understand that you are so important to God that God needs you to understand how you are to play your role so that you can best represent him in the world instead of panicking, instead of living in doubt, worry, and fear, and unbelief, and guilt, and shame. And you can live a more than abundant life. So, Pastor Carver, I want to encourage you to encourage somebody else and give them some ideas of how they can reprogram their mind to think differently. Pastor Carver?
Okay. Well, I want to start with the first, the first element that Paul tells us to think on, truth. These days, you know, you always hear my truth, let them tell their truth, and it tries to compete, like I said earlier, with the truth, to where people get confused. But when we go to the Word of God, it defines from Old to New Testament what truth is, especially when it comes to the Gospels of Jesus Christ. In the book of John, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 8:32, it says, and you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Now, who's the truth? He just said he was the truth. As disciples and followers of Christ, he leads us into all truth. It's like Bishop Carver was saying, to decide to focus on the things that Paul talks about. And when it comes to truth, it has to do with the word and how that formulates in your heart. It helps cultivate motive, sharpens discernment. In John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. This is in John as well. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Holy Spirit is a great, more than a guide, but he's a helper. He's so many things, but he definitely will guide you into all truth, and he'll also guide you away from things that are not truthful. So in John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I think integrity is built upon the word of God when we begin to not just read it and meditate on it, but begin to do it. Okay? And in Psalms and Proverbs, there are many wise words that are written about the truth. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. That's in Psalms 145:18. In Psalms 119:160, it says, lead me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. So in Psalms 86:11, it says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. A lot of times when we're talking about truth, it's not just what you know intellectually. It's what's going to affect you spiritually as well. especially the truth. It opens up so many doors. Wisdom, all wisdom comes from God. So we have to be able to know, let's go to the source so we can get an understanding of truth, not just when it comes to just biblical things or scriptural things or things that are just based on what we believe in our salvation. It's everything from science to math to you name it. He will lead us into all truth. It will make us a very well-rounded individual. So, like my husband said, he said, what is something that can help somebody to begin to renew their mind? Go to the Word first. Make it a daily sacred habit, a sacred discipline. I don't like to say habits because it seems it's not a heavier word, heavy enough word for what I'm trying to when you read the Word and knowing that it's truth, it changes your life. It will change your life. It gets all up in your business like never before. It affects what you say, what you don't say. And if you find that you are, everything's just coming out of your mouth and you got a nasty attitude or whatever, go back and read your Word. Meditate on it. It'll help you get your mind together. It is not a magical wand. It is not that we say things over and over and over again in hocus pocus. Please don't look at it like that. But because it is active and alive, when you begin to say, when I read the Word every day, beyond the devotion, beyond an affirmation, it's going to change my life. It's going to do what it needs to do. It's going to guide me into all truth. About everything that God wants me to know. So that when I'm looking at kind of what Bishop Carver said too, everything around us is negative and it's painting a narrative that's saying, here you go, offering us, this is truth. This is reality. This is your reality. But when you begin to study the Word and meditate on it and soak in it and meditate on it day and night to where it's always going through your mind, it's affecting your heart, your motives, how you see things. It changes your lenses and your insight intellectually as well as spiritually and mentally. It has the ability to heal your mind. And so when we talk about truth, meditating on truth, start with reading the Word. Read it out loud. Write it. Speak, begin to read it to yourself and make it sacred. Make it a sacred time, a time that you guard, a time that you don't let anything interfere. It's not just you checking a box that day. It's you spending God with, it's you spending time with truth in Jesus Christ.
Well, Pastor Carver, I think that was a really good point. And I'll tell you that one of the things that comes to my mind is how whenever we ponder the negative, it is almost as if we're suggesting the devil can win. And when we understand that that's not possible, that God is all-powerful, God is present everywhere, God is all-knowing, there is no way for the devil to win. And so now we have to let God fight our battles. But it doesn't mean that we don't show up for the battle. As a matter of fact, what you see in many Old Testament examples of God going before his people is they would have to show up at the battle. But sometimes God would say, just watch. I want you to see. I want you to be there when I devastate your enemies in your presence. And see, the devil is always present in your mind with fiery darts. The fiery darts are doubt, worry, fear, unbelief. And we call it reason and being rational and due process and due diligence and all this other stuff, when really it's just leaning to our own understanding and operating out of our own limited strength, talents, and abilities. And God is telling us, don't do that. Just trust me. Show up. stand there, be confident, and know that what I said in my word is true. Know that you are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. See, we are more than conquerors. It says in Proverbs that one who is able to conquer himself, to control himself, is mightier than one who can conquer a city. And that is so true. If you can control what is dominating your thought life, then you can control what is coming out of your mouth, and then you're going to control what is happening in your life. And I can tell you personally from experience that I really had to watch the things that I allow to come out of my mouth, because it's not what I want a lot of times. And I call it being diligent and being serious and being aware and understanding that the world is a dangerous place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so as a father, as a husband, as a grandfather, your mindset is to protect. But when you're trusting God, you have to acknowledge the reality that even if you had the ability to protect all of the people you're responsible for, you can't be in more than one place at a time. So only God, who can be in more than one place at a time, is able to truly protect the people that you say you care about. So if you care about these people, pray for them. Lift them up. Intercede for them by speaking in tongues. And know that as you have taught them the word, as you have given them an example of how to have an intimate relationship with God and go to the throne themselves and be able to speak in tongues themselves, you know that God is with them, that they are protected, that there is nowhere they're going to be, that they are not going to have access to the power to protect, the power to cause them to prevail. And so then you can begin to testify of all of those great successes. You can testify of the peace that comes with being able to put your children, your loved ones, your parents, your grandparents, your grandchildren in the hands of God, and know that God is able to keep them. And God is able to keep you. And see, when the Bible says, trust no man, that means even yourself. See, many of us, we lean to our own understanding and we think that we can solve our problems. And the smartest thing you can do is just give it to God. Pray and listen. Because see, when you pray, you are reporting for duty. You're ready to receive instruction. So you should not just be speaking. You should be quietly listening after you have made your petition to God, after you have made your supplication, your worshipful words, your words of thanksgiving to God. After you have spoken to God from your heart, then you should listen for the direction of what to do. See, God will give you what to do. Look at what it says here in Psalm chapter 35, verse 27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. See, God doesn't just call us, we're not servants to God, we're sons of God. We dwell in the house forever. And this says that God is magnified and has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. So if God is taking pleasure in your prosperity, we should be shouting for joy. We should be glad. We should be favoring the righteous cause of one another. So it's not just celebrating our own successes. It's celebrating the successes of our brothers and sisters in Christ, who the devil has not destroyed. I know my business partner, awesome man of God, he was saved from seven surgeries. And many of those surgeries were trying to fix what they messed up in the other surgery. But God didn't let that stop him from prevailing, from taking his life. And it was pretty close at times. I mean, these surgeries were also happening during a global pandemic. And he was able to be kept by God. And that is an awesome testimony. When I think of how God prevailed in spite of the circumstances, and you'd be amazed at the things that God can do. But when you read in God's word about the things God has already done, you'll realize that there is nothing God can't do. And what God will do for his people is beyond measure. So your level of expectation is going to increase as you begin to walk out and do those things God gives us to do. And when you see God honoring his word and doing what he said he was going to do, it's going to make you more enthusiastic about what you do for God. It's going to change the way that you move and operate for God, because you're going to be expecting the kind of increase, the kind of change, the kind of impact, the kind of power that God promises is available, because you will have experienced it firsthand for yourself. See, it's one thing to read about it. It's one thing for somebody else to tell you about it. It's another thing for you to actually walk in that power and then see God move in your life. And then when God uses you to move in the lives of others, that's when you really get excited. Because that's the overflow. And you realize, oh goodness, it's not just about me. It's so that I can introduce others to this power, others to this glory, others to this purpose, others to this praise. And so when we think about why we want to meditate on what is true, what is good, what is honest, what is pure, what is of good report, what is praiseworthy, what is virtuous, it's so that what we produce in our life is awesome. What I've noticed is when it rains, especially during this time of year, during the spring and during the early parts of the summer, when it rains, there are people who complain. And normally those are people that don't have anything planted. They don't have a garden. They don't have anything going on in the ground that they have contributed to. And so their expectation is not there. They're concerned about the fact that, oh, I'm going to have to mow the lawn. Oh, I'm going to have to pick these weeds. Oh, I'm going to have to do all this stuff. And it's because there was no other work done that cultivated the ground, that planted weeds, that moved the stones, that put flowers certain places and vegetables certain places and trees certain places and shrubs certain places and bushes in certain places. And see, think about it. One of the first things that man did, Adam, when he was working with God, he was put to work in the garden, right? When water comes, when rain comes, that's a blessing from God. And if you've been doing work, then you're expecting increase. You're expecting fruits and vegetables and flowers and shrubs and trees and bushes and plants inside and outside. I mean, these things contribute to your well-being. So it is in your life. When you're planting good seed, then what you're expecting to sprout up around you in your life is good, because you know you planted good. But if all you're thinking about is nonsense, that's what's coming out of your mouth. That is what's being planted in your life, and that's what's going to be drawn to you. I'm going to give you a more practical example, because many of us around the world are on social media of some type. And if you're on any social media platform, what I've noticed is that what you tend to attract to you is what is being contributed by you. So if what you're posting on your wall is negative, then what you're going to see is going to be a bunch of people who are also posting negative things, posting on your wall, and that energy is going to be negative energy. If you are putting out good energy, if you are saying good, positive things, things that are true, things that are honest, things that are of good report, things that are praiseworthy, things that are honest, things that are pure, things that are just, right? You are going to be receiving energy from people who are looking for things that are good, pure, just, honest, trustworthy, praiseworthy, virtuous, of good report. And that is just how it works. What you are going to receive is going to be what you're giving, what you're putting out. So you have to dwell on things that are positive. That's another reason why you want to be studying God's word, because God is going to bless you as you seek his will for your life. And basically what you're doing is you're coming into agreement with God that his plan is good. And look at what it says here in regard to what I just said. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, it says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, right? So God is not concerned about whether you're rich or poor, or whether you're an employee or an employer, whether you're a master or a servant. God is saying that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, any person doeth, whatsoever good thing you do, the same shall he receive of the Lord. See, people might not see what you do, but God sees what you do. And God is saying, I'm not going to let your good go unrewarded. I'm going to give you what you are putting out. And so if you're giving other people encouragement, if you're giving other people hope, if you're giving other people love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and kindness and patience and faithfulness and self-control, and you're putting that out there, then it's all going to come back to you. And God says, I'm going to give it to you the same way you're giving it to others. God says that he who waters will be watered himself. So when I give to others, it's not a loss to me, because I know that God's increase always prevails far beyond anything I've ever given anybody. And it's not because I give in a stingy way, because I don't. It's because God is so generous, because God is so loving, because God's plan is good and his word is true, and God's credit is awesome. God's credit is excellent. God does everything he says in his word, and he never falls short. And so we have to get to the point where we agree with God that his word is good. So Pastor Carver, what advice can you give people that would allow them to be more inclined to speak words that are encouraging and true and just and pure and lovely and of good report and praiseworthy and virtuous?
If we take it from the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 3, how we talk about Paul is, once again, this is part of him defending his ministry, but he also says, for though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we're not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And specifically, the fifth verse is how we have to take every thought captive. And to be able to say, you're not going to think something negative. You're going to think something positive, truth, virtuous, noble, of good report, you know, as Paul mentioned in Philippians. And I think that we have to realize that sometimes there is a war for our thoughts. There is, because I think our thoughts in some ways are territory. The enemy can take territory in our thought lives. So that when we do hear truth, we may recognize it, but it doesn't stick. It doesn't adhere to anything. There's no foundation. So that the more that we read the word and more that we consciously take those thoughts captive and renew our mind, we're just, sometimes it can be a serious. Sometimes we have to step away from social media. Sometimes whatever is getting in the way of us taking those thought captives and not allowing any thought to just traffic in and out of your mind. Some of those thoughts don't even come from you. And I think that when people don't own them, they'll be more empowered to say, that did not come from me, and I'm sending that back to where it came from. Because I am renewing my mind. I'm destroying every sophisticated argument and or ideology that exalts itself above, that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And there are so many ideologies and ideas, I guess you could say, that the world has to offer us. Remember what I mentioned earlier about culture and society dictating to what we say is truth, or what will make us have peace, or what is of good report. And we have to let the Holy Spirit define that, define what those things are in our life. But we have to be willing to understand that our weapons is, because you need a weapon, because this is warfare for your thoughts. The battle is in your mind. And so if we look at it for what it is, knowing that it is spiritual warfare, but God has taught us to be, we're more than conquerors. So there's a lot of things we don't have to do in our own strength, but we do have to take every thought captive. We're destroying them, not just saying, okay, stop right there. You can't be here. We have to destroy some of these thoughts. But our weapons warfare are not flesh and blood, but divine power to destroy strongholds, not just threaten. And this is what gets my attention. We have to destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And in this case, Paul was defending his ministry. And I think that when we come against our thought life or somebody else's thought life trying to affect what we think on or what is truth, see it as warfare, but see it as one who fights for us. God fights for us. So sometimes he's just telling us, just don't allow those thoughts to come in and out. Define what's truth. Let me define what's truth. Let me lead you into all truth. But don't be passive about what you look at, what you listen to, what defines your reality. We have to realize we're in a war. And that doesn't mean we just focus on negative things and demons and devils all the time either. But I think that when it comes to our thought life, I just want to let everybody know that it is, sometimes you're going to feel like this is war, it's spiritual warfare for our thoughts. Why would Paul say it if it wasn't? Okay. All right.
Well, I'll tell you, that sounds like a really good word. As it pertains to renewing your mind specifically, I think about what it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it says, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God is telling us to not be circumstance conditioned, not be conformed to the world, but he's telling us to look at that horizon line be transformed by the renewing of our mind when we replace what we think, what we feel, what we hear, what we believe with what the Word of God says. We renew our mind to the Word that you may prove what is that good. So you're testing what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are being transformed as we renew our mind. And see, that word transform, it is similar to what happens to a caterpillar when it becomes a butterfly, right? Something that looks like a worm that crawls up a tree and then takes this weird shape of a cocoon before it grows wings and flies, right? That beautiful butterfly used to look like a big worm or a big grub or whatever you want to call it. And the thing is, it's that's us. When we are dwelling on the things of the world and the things of our past and all that past trauma and all that stuff, that was us when we were a caterpillar. But after we climbed up that tree and we let transformation happen, we made Jesus Christ Lord of our life, and then we renewed our mind to the Word. We study God's Word. We dwell on the things of the Word. Then we watch the transformation take place, and we get to the point where we can fly, where we don't look like that anymore. We look like a butterfly, and people are like, is that so-and-so? Is that Lester for real? I remember when he was a caterpillar. Now look at him fly. And see, this is what God tells us to do. He gives us something to do. When he tells us to behave like a Christian, this is what he's looking for us to do. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 9. And I'm going to be reading down to verse 21. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfast in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head, meaning you'll make him ashamed of his feelings toward you. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, good, virtue, truth, all of these things are weapons against evil. And we know that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy evil. See, that's how we are more than conquerors. We are able to overcome all evil as we renew our mind to the Word of God. And we think on things that are good, just, pure, noble. and of good report, praiseworthy. The things that we know God approves of, we approve of. And things that God does not approve of, we don't dwell on. We don't even think about it. And we certainly don't let that mess come out of our mouth, because it means what's in our heart is not what should be in our heart. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if what you're always speaking about is negative stuff, that's what's in your heart. And this is one thing I mentioned to someone once, a Christian friend of mine who was very passionate about some things. And I understand how people get passionate about certain things, but people have to be careful because you kind of tell on yourself. If you are a dishonest person, then you believe that everybody's lying to you. If you are someone who is a thief, you believe everybody's trying to steal from you. If you are someone who is unfaithful, then you believe that everybody is being unfaithful toward you. See, whatever it is your issue is, if you're dwelling on that issue and you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to root it out, then that's what's coming out of your mouth because that's what you're dwelling on. That's why the word says that perfect love casts out fear. See, when you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're renewing your mind to the word. You're meditating on the word. You're uprooting all the stony places in your heart so that something can grow there, right? And that is not making place for fear. But when you are not renewing your mind to the word, when you're not loving God, right, then you can't love yourself the way you need to love yourself to be free of all that, those stony places in your heart. And so those stony places in your heart are now inviting doubt, worry, and fear into your life. And then you wonder why you're all twisted up. And the reason you're twisted up is because you have to renew your mind to the word of God, remove the stony places from your heart, yield to the Holy Spirit, submit to the Holy Spirit, humble yourself to the Holy Spirit, and allow yourself to be transformed as you renew your mind to the word of God, and then you replace all that stuff from the past with the word of God, and then you become free. You become productive. Your Christian walk becomes fruitful and not just stuff that you do. Because, see, if I don't see love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control in your life, chances are you are still growing and developing to the point where you will be free someday. But until you are free, you're going to be dwelling in fear. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be discouraged. You are going to be in a place where you know intellectually, but you don't know experientially because you have not yet tested and proved what the word of God says because you're not doing what God said the way God says to do it. So God says, let love be without hypocrisy. That means you love everyone. From your enemies to your family to the body of Christ, you love everyone. Then it says, abhor what is evil. That is to reject evil things. Cling to what is good. That is something that you have to do intentionally. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. So now is it, and it says in honor, giving preference to one another. So we're supposed to love the brothers and sisters in Christ and give honor and preference to each other. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. See, what we do for God, we have to do intentionally. We have to do fervently. We have to do, you know, with an urgency. And then we're to rejoice in hope. We're to be patient in tribulation. We're to continue steadfastly in prayer. We're to distribute to the needs of the saints. And think about this. All of us have something that might bless someone else that we are not using. If you're not using it, you probably don't need it. And it's taking up space in your garage, in your attic, in your basement, in your closet, in your trunk, in some storage locker, for God's sake, that you're probably paying on forever. And so the thing is, God says, I want you to be free of all the old stuff. Open your hands up so that I can give you what's new. Open your hands up so that I can give you what you can handle now. Because what you can handle now isn't the same as what you could have handled 10 and 20 years ago. You can handle a much bigger blessing now because you're mature enough to handle it. And so we have to let go of all that old stuff. That old stuff is not worth having. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and giving the hospitality. And I'll tell you, sometimes when you're in the middle of a lot of work and life and doing stuff, it's hard to entertain, to have people over your house. But don't you understand? That's how the first century Christians fellowship was, in one another's homes. They went from house to house eating together and fellowshipping and sharing the word with one another and testifying of all that God was doing for them, right? So he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. See, blessings come from your mouth. That's what you say. But you can't bless if that's not what's in your heart, because what's going to come out of your mouth is whatever's in your heart. So if what's in your heart is all the negative stuff you've been dwelling on, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. And if you've been studying God's word, praying, fasting, fellowshipping with like-minded believers, then what's going to come out of your mouth is good stuff. And you're going to be able to bless those who persecute you. You're going to be able to bless and not curse them as God is commanding you to do. This isn't a suggestion. He's saying behave like a Christian. Stop just talking and put some action behind what it is you're doing. Be more deliberate. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And I'll tell you, quite honestly, it's not natural for some people to weep. I was raised in such a way where if I'm going to cry, I'm going to have a real reason to cry, and it's not going to be something that you see me do very often. And yet God says, weep with those who weep. See, because it's not about me. It's about me obeying God. And if God says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, if I see my brethren weeping because of their loss, I'm to weep with them. I'm to mourn with them. It says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. See, many people would look down on the humble. And God says, hey, I set myself against the proud. And that's why we never want to be hypocritical with our love and prefer certain people because they are shinier than other people. That's not how God is doing this. God is looking at your heart. And you might have the best house and the best car and the best job and the best reputation and a heart full of stones. And that is not what God is looking for. So he says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And see, some people take their calling as a Christian as a mandate to war with everybody who's not a Christian, and that's not right. It's carnal Christianity. God is telling us, as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's the word of God. That's a commandment from God. Do that. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And as I said, that means you will make him ashamed of his treatment toward you. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, when we're thinking on things that are good, we're prepared to do things that are good. But when we're thinking on things that are evil, we're prepared to do some things that are evil. And you got to remember, we knew evil before we knew good. We were an enemy of God before we were a child of God. So we have to study this thing. We have to develop this thing. We have to walk this thing out. We have to strengthen our soul
to incline itself to our spirit, because our soul is naturally inclined to lean to the things of the flesh. So, Pastor Carver, what do you have to say about this?
I think we should end with prayer. Four of the things that we talked about is think on these things. We talked about the heart. We talked about the thought life. We talked about truth. We talked about the horizon and what we focus on. We talk about a level of expectation when we do begin to dwell on the truth and the things, and we renew our mind, take those things captive, understanding that this is spiritual warfare, understanding that you get what you expect and what you dwell on is what you get. Because we are, God has made all things new. Our thought life is so, so important these days, and it's worth guarding and it's worth cultivating and not getting our cues or our references or our foundation from the world. We get it from his word of God. And the word begins to speak so quickly. And then when it comes to our assignments and the things we're called for, we are strong. We are strengthened. We are full of faith. We are courageous. We'll be able to do everything that we need to do. I thank God for this topic. And I just want to pray for those listening in the chat room. I'm not sure if there's anybody in the chat room that would like to speak on this. Bishop Carver, is there anyone in the chat room that you can see?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so I will close with prayer. And all those different countries that Bishop Carver mentioned at the beginning of this show, I think that that is so important for us to understand. We want to include them. We don't want them to think that this is just a Western show for Westerners in the West, but all over the world, that the word is going all over the world. So, Father God, I praise and I thank you, Lord, tonight. We thank you, Lord, tonight for this wonderful word, that we were able to discuss your word and be encouraged and be strengthened. I thank you, Lord, today that the word be sealed, the things that we heard, the things that we will meditate on, even as the scripture is, even as this show is over, that the word will be fruitful in our lives. And as we go throughout our day, Father God, and begin to just approach the word in a different way, that when we walk away from reading the word and writing the word and studying it, that we will be able to apprehend the word when it comes to resolving problems, when it comes to our discernment, when it comes to how we work heartily unto you, how we love on our families, and how we deal with our own inner life and our relationships throughout the week. I pray, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, today that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that this shall be a good word, Lord, that will take root in our hearts, and it will help us to take every thought captive. It'll help us to know that what we think on, we will do, what we think on, we will be, and we should only do those things that the word says and only believe what the word says, and we'll be able to see that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I thank you, Lord, today for all these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, with God's great love for us, be ye transformed.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Sing hallelujah
to our God.
praise.
Say every praise.
It's to our God.
Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Give
praise.
It's to our God.
Every word of worship.
With one accord. Come on, say every praise.
Every praise.
It's to our God.
Every praise.
Let's take it up one more time. Every praise.
Every praise.
care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.